This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Chris Steakhouse. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Time to break down the tape. Big Bad Film Study with Ken McCusick. Your home for the most Ravens coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
8:02 in the AM joining us right now in studio. From FilmStudyBaltimore.com, he is Ken McCusick. What's going on this morning, Ken?
Looks good, Rob. How about you?
The sun is bright. It's Tuesday. Orioles won last night. The draft is in 2 days. I keep naming it.
No complaints.
Did you guys, I know you were up super early this morning, real quick. Did you see the full moon this morning?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh. It was illuminating like crazy. I can only imagine if you're like in an area where he didn't have all of this hustle and bustle. It was beautiful, about 4:30 this morning. But, Ken, the draft on Thursday, 2 days from now, with pick number 30 in the NFL draft, first of all, will the Ravens pick at number 30?
You know, I think there is a good chance. There's some definitely some trade-down scenarios. There's another trade-up scenario that I've heard. That I think there may be three reasonable ways the Ravens could trade up a few spots.
Mm-hmm.
Got one guy came to me with just a fantastic trade idea that had the Ravens moving all the way up to number 10, but it's very costly.
Really?
Yeah. But
who would they have taken at 10?
Well, I think it's left tackle, but the question is Joe Alt probably doesn't last to that point, so it's probably Fasciano.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be an exciting move, and it's an absolutely fantastic idea. It's just one of these things that strikes you there. But I think there's probably 75% chance they stay at 30, try and address their left tackle need there. That's most of their value in the draft. So it's one of the problems with any kind of trading is they have, if you look at it in terms of JJ points, they have 1,174 total JJ points. 620 of them are in that first round pick. If they don't move out of number 30, there aren't any really move the needle trade back scenarios for them. So they would have to do that.
If their first pick, and obviously depending on player, is either cornerback, a tackle or a wide receiver. Are you fine with that? Like, you know, any one of those positions? Because they all seem like they're somewhat of need.
Yeah, the problem is barriers to entry. And the barriers to entry at offensive tackle are enormous. And there's many years where there's no left tackle available. There might not even be a developmental left tackle. There happen to be a lot of left tackles potentially in this draft, maybe 6-7 guys. Maybe even as many as 9, if you want to think about it, that could be drafted as early as about or as late as about the second round. But you don't normally have that. And I think if they don't address left tackle this year, when they know the need is coming at least a year from now, or no later than a year from now, then they'd be making a big mistake.
Yeah, but Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Why does trading make sense?
Okay, so they could trade back. I think it would be if they have exhausted the left tackle possibilities by the time they get to 30 in a meaningful way without having to stretch for the player. And there's a couple guys in there I'm not real crazy about. I kind of hope they don't get Jordan Morgan. He's a little bit short for the position. I'm thinking maybe he moves into, when I say short, I mean arm length, that he moves in to play guard more than likely. I don't really want Graham Barton. I think they're good linemen, both of them, but they're both kind of consolation prizes if you're looking for a left tackle. And then if you're talking about a true developmental guy and you get some of the second-round guys like Sua Mataia of BYU or Patrick Paul, for example, or the Yale guy, Amagaji, Then you're really talking about guys that you better move back and preserve as much of your draft value as possible. So that's why moving back would make sense. And I think they could move up a few spots, maybe to as high as 23 or 24. Dallas is also in the market potentially for a tackle. So they may not be eager to trade their pick, but maybe the team at 23 would. So anyway, you've got a few options to move around the board like that. They have to give up a lot. They have to give up their third round pick to move up to 24 or 23.
I love what you wrote here in players we want to see get drafted before 29. And the easy thing to look at is quarterbacks, but there's some other things you have there as well that I think you should be rooting for some of these guys that come off the board.
This is exactly what our draft watch party is all focused on, is how does this pick affect the Ravens? And it's mostly about, you know, what goes on like that. But six quarterbacks we want to see go off the board, and that includes, of course, Nixon, Penix, and the big four, who I think no doubt about will all be drafted. Five edge rushers are out there that I think could be drafted early, including the big three, who are Turner, Latu, Verse, and both of the Robinsons could go potentially in that first round. The top wide receivers, you know, you got to pick your poison here. The Ravens need a wide receiver, but they also kind of want wide receivers to be drafted so that they're not offensive tackles being drafted. So if they could get some of that second round wide receiver talent or some of that marginal guys, that would be great. I think five wide receivers would be my target by 29. Exactly four cornerbacks of the big five, so that they have one available to themselves, but the big five. The two guys I really like are Wiggins and McKinstry. Wiggins, actually, my number one cornerback overall. Yeah.
I love McKinstry.
Love Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just continue on very briefly. Brock Bowers, they want to see, obviously, gone. The top two defensive linemen, Byron Murphy is a name I keep hearing as higher on the boards, and Johnny Newton of Illinois. And then, you know, the top four LT prospects should all be gone. The top three, and then other LT prospects and that may have to move. There are four of those. And, you know, hopefully a team like the Raiders makes an off-schedule pick. You know, and they've
done
that.
The fastest guy in the draft, yeah.
Yeah, numerous times before they've done it. And then exactly two of kind of the right-priced left tackles, leaving us with one. So Latham, Mims, and Guyton are the three guys who are right in the wheelhouse for the Ravens.
Ken, you said a few minutes ago the Ravens need a wide receiver, okay? Mm-hmm. They have Bateman, they have Flowers, they have Aguilar, and also two very good tight ends. We're coming off an AFC championship game where we said we didn't run the football enough. So why do we need another wide receiver?
So I think a wide receiver is one of the top needs of the team, because I don't think they're spectacularly deep there by any means. But if they went into the season and it was Bateman and Flowers were their primary guys, and they find somebody else in the mid-rounds, and they have Aguilar, and they have two tight ends, I'd actually be okay with that. It wouldn't be the worst thing. But if the guy I really want is in the second round, is if they can get Xavier Legette. If he's the guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I love that pick if that's the guy.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Yeah, and so let's take a look at you mentioned wide receivers. Is this deep this year for, like, we talk about positions and how, like, I know left tackle is something that we could sit here and say there's a lot of them, but is it deep? Is it something where you're comfortable waiting till round two, round three? Because it seems like the Ravens are hopefully grabbing a guy, plugging and playing this year.
Yeah, I have about 17 guys on my list who'd be drafted by about pick 75, I would think. So I would consider that very deep. And that's kind of a top-heavy draft in terms of wide receivers. A bunch of guys, McConkey is often a guy who's mocked the Ravens. I don't think they get him unless they trade back, honestly. I think he's a little bit of a reach at 30, and if they had a tackle available, they'd take him. But
he's a slot, right?
He's a smaller guy who is a good route runner. He's probably more like a Z.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, if you're asking the question, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Ravens don't really need a slot receiver because they got flex tight ends. So
yeah, so I think that works out too. And then the other thing I was seeing, I know we're not going to talk about Brock Bowers. That's a guy that you want to come off the board. But I think that guy is an absolute game changer for whoever gets him, and could be interesting to see. Tight ends usually don't have an impact in year one, but a guy clearly the Ravens want to come off the board, and he will. But a difference maker, another one of those guys I'd put up at the top.
The Orioles have had back-to-back players of the week for the first time since 1981. Mike Bordick will join us at 8:45 to talk about that. But on the other side, Ken McCusick will still be with us talking more draft as the Ravens get ready for the 2024 NFL Draft, up next on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Big Bad Morning Show with Rob Long, Ed Norris, and Jeremy Kahn. Sponsored by IG Burton Buick. Experience the new Buick at IG Burton Buick. 105.7 The Fan.
.15 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ken McCusick from Film Study Baltimore joining us in studio. Ken, can I ask you a non-Raven draft question?
Absolutely.
Okay, we all know that Caleb Williams is going number one, right? What quarterback is going number two?
Jaden Daniels.
No doubt about it?
No doubt about it.
So all the other talk that we see is nothing?
I think I defer to Jeremy on this, but I think that the odds have shifted significantly in the last couple of days, and Daniels is now a significant favorite.
Yeah, I'd say he goes number two. That would be my bet, but the only weird thing that came out was from his camp talking about all the stuff about Washington and how he didn't like the interview process. But, like, once you get drafted, I think all that's for naught. Like, even the rumors that came out that Jaden Daniels didn't want to go to the Patriots because he didn't want to play in cold weather. Whatever. If they draft you, your ass is going up there to play. I mean, you can sit here and hold out and do all this stuff and posturing and all that. I just don't see it happening. But I think Daniels is the number two guy.
I think he's the second best. If I picked the number one, if I had the number one pick, I would have a hard time between he and Williams. I love Jaden.
Right, I do too.
I love him. I think he's a game changer. And on top of that, I like him. I like the person better. Mm-hmm. I just do. I think he's lower maintenance. Even with some of the things that we're hearing out of his camp, that's fine. But that's agents being agents. But I think when it's all said and done, he's a guy that's going to be just a solid pro for about a decade, if not more.
Outstanding, talented group at LSU there, but unbelievable year. From Brian Thomas in particular. Greatest deep ball year in the history of NCAA football, pretty much.
It's impressive, man, to think about what they've done. And, Ken, as you look at this draft, and, you know, we had a long talk about it, where the Ravens are going to go. They typically go best player available. How do you see it when we get into the – I know the later rounds, some of that stuff, that's where it really applies, that you're going to see that. But with so many needs – do you see them like addressing needs more than best player available with this draft?
I mean, I think you can't help but doing it with the barrier to entry. So it's not just a matter of we can't lose draft value here, which you might normally say. You might say, I'm overdrafting this left tackle by six spots, and that's going to cost me, you know, 200 JJ points or whatever it might be. I can't do it. So I have to either trade back or do something else. But at left tackle, you just don't have a choice sometimes. And so need has to be more of it because it might cost you a lot more to do it next year.
Yeah,
I think that's a reasonable response to this. If it were a wide receiver or cornerback, I'd say take your lumps, trade back, and get the next best guy otherwise. But I don't think they could do it at left tackle. That's why I'm probably at this point, I'm about 70% sure that it will be a left tackle at number one if there is any reasonable way to do it. I mean –
I think you're 100% right on that, especially from some of the stuff we've heard too. But again, that's why that it does feel like a need, and I'm wondering if they would pass up somebody that they like because they really need a tackle.
Yeah, and that's they might have to do it, or they might have to trade back if they really want to try it. But I think if they trade back, they're actually really playing with fire. If let's say all the good ones get taken, and they're down to Suamataia is the guy they want to target because Latham and Mims and Guyton are all gone who are at the reasonable range. If they trade back 8 or 10 spots with the hope of picking him up, I think they might lose him.
And Rob, to your point, you were talking about how this draft, like there were a lot of people that are, I don't want to say down on it, but haven't had that feel of excitement because they're at the back end. But the other thing that I think could also apply to this is that when you look at this draft, it might be an unsexy draft where you're drafting some linemen early on. The early picks that you like to see may not be guys that you really watched at the collegiate level closely.
And in all honesty, I'm okay with that because this team was a game away from the Super Bowl. You don't need sexy. You need substance. You need what gets you over the top. Ken McCusick joins us from Film Study Baltimore. Ken, I want to take a step back to what we talked about wide receiver. There are reports that Lamar Jackson wanted some input on selecting if they're going to select a wide receiver. Do you agree with that? And as far as you know, will Lamar Jackson have some input in that?
Have no idea whether he actually will have some input. I think it's always a good thing if they can involve him, I guess, in the process. In some ways, you kind of don't want his input. I kind of feel that way sometimes about Harbaugh's input in the draft as well, honestly, that you know, DaCosta is the master of the scouting end, and he's been doing the same role for 29 years effectively now at some level of scouting. I really do want the selections to be made by that group and not by the team necessarily that's either coaching, which I understand, you know, Chuck Smith and other people have had some involvement in that. But I'm really not crazy about players making draft decisions.
Okay.
So that's where I am. Yeah.
So Ken, as you look at, you know, that back end of that first round and all the different things that we could see happen there, you and I talked quite a bit on Sunday about the different directions they could go in. Running back, is this something that they definitely address here? Do you feel like it's in, not first round, obviously, but like, is it something they address? Is it after the draft? And in your opinion, they still need one, right? At least one.
Yeah, I think the Ravens will be looking for a stylistic fit at running back. And right now, they can use speed, and they can also use a one-cut runner. If they do that, then they have to somehow bridge the gap until Mitchell returns. But they've got their power back, and power back, honestly, is the easiest one to fill. There's a lot of one-cut guys, and they're generally available after the draft as UDFAs. They got Mitchell, a speed guy, as a UDFA, which was unbelievable given the talent he ended up being. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think a lot of teams will value speed, and it will be in short supply this year. But I think either UDFA or they'll draft somebody in the mid to late rounds, probably a day three pick.
What about real quick? Sorry, Rob. What about quarterback? They're going to draft a backup?
It could be. I mean, it'd be a later round guy. The reason I think they might not is because there's really no middle class of quarterbacks in this draft. You've got the big six. You've got Spencer Rattler, who I know we've had some discussions about already. Rob, you being a South Carolina guy, and then we got a whole bunch of guys near the end of the draft. So it could happen, but it could be a UDFA also.
Ken McKusick, join us. Ken, are you liking this draft this year? Do you think, in terms of not just the Ravens, is this a talented draft?
I think it's a great draft for what the Ravens need. So that's why I'm really excited about it. And they are low on draft capital, and that's what happens when you go to the AFC Championship game and draft 30th. But they have a lot of the positions they need to get are in good supply.
I think there are four special players in this. I've talked about Rome and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
Caleb Williams is another one, and I mentioned Brock Bowers. I think these guys are. They could be, I mean, we could make a case in a few years that they could be the best players at their position, or at least be considered. And I think they're special. But it is funny, too, to just sit here and look at this. What about, you talked about a developmental edge. I don't know much about the mid rounds here. And it's really hard to judge some of these guys, because when I'm looking for an edge rusher, they're either, as we've talked about, developmental, and you realize that, or you're drafting one in the first round and hoping he can have an impact right away.
The thing that the Ravens have been real successful at is drafting small school guys,
and particularly
in the edge. But Zach Sealer was an interior. He's really a five tech. But if you go back at Matt Judon, if you go other Brandon Williams or Lardarius Webb, I mean, they had a really good track record drafting small school guys. And now they're 0-43 small school guys in the DaCosta era. And two of the last Aussie picks were small school guys. Greg Sinnott, who came out of Wagner, and Sealer. Who came out of Ferris State? Yeah.
And Sealer too, still playing in the league.
Yeah, he's great.
I mean, that's one of the things too that I think a lot of people don't realize. There's plenty of guys that the Ravens have drafted that haven't worked out here, that have worked out elsewhere.
Which means it's not that you're not drafting well. It means that you didn't have room.
Yeah, you can't keep them. You can't afford them.
Yeah, you can't keep them. Yeah, you're right about that. Hey, tell folks about Film Study Baltimore, Ken.
Absolutely. So thing I want to plug tonight, if I might here, is a draft party that is going on all 3 days. So it'll be all the hours of the draft. We're going to be watching it. It's a very loose watch party where we have 2 to 5 panelists at a time. Lots of opportunity to ask questions directly. And we'll guide you through this draft with every pick, how it affects the Baltimore Ravens as we go through it. And we'll talk about needs all the way through, opportunity for questions from the audience as well.
I think it's a cool way to experience the draft with other people without leaving your house. Yeah. You know?
You're not going to be on it, are you?
I'm going to be at the Green Turtle in Towson.
Then I'm going to watch this draft party then, all right?
Me and Nelson Aguilar will be hanging out.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, kid.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.